Looking forward to teaching this class this morning. I teach at Glenn Middle School, and last year was the first year I had to teach junior high in 15 years. So teaching the adult class is a blessing compared to teaching junior high. I really grade last year, being at the junior high. Today's lesson is dealing with overcoming pride and arrogance. As a coach and being in the teaching profession, you know, especially pride, I see that quite a bit, through our players, through parents, through coaches. And so there's a lot of good points today. There's hopefully we can get through with all these points. In Webster, he defines pride as the quality or state of being proud, or a reasonable or justifiable self-respect. You know, and then we have, you know, parental pride. I think, you know, as parents, you know, I think it's all right for us to take pride when our kids accomplish something. And depending on how we take that pride, I think tells a lot about who we are. You know, I think being prideful and being, I guess, conceitful, might say, is two different things. You know, grandkids, you know, grandparents are very, very, take a lot of pride in their grandkids. I've got this written down here. My, mother-in-law, which I love dearly, okay. I tell my wife, when we bought our place, we had a cat that came with the place, and I was glad we had a cat because my mother-in-law is allergic to him, but really it's not that way. But my mother-in-law always, she worked at a bank for a long time, and people showed grandkids, and she said, "Well, let me show you my pride and joy." And they were thinking she'd open up her wallet, and thought she was going to show her pictures of grandkids. Well, she had a picture of the detergent pride and the dishwashing soap joy. So that was her pride and joy. So you can kind of see where she is, okay? But in the introduction here, it said pride thrust Nebuchadnezzar out of men's society. It thrust Saul out of his kingdom, Adam out of paradise, and Satan out of heaven. Augustine named pride as the greatest of all sins, pointing out that when man is proud, he exalts himself and displaces God. Alexander Pope said that pride was the never-failing vice of fools. C.S. Lewis also calls the pride the complete anti-state of mind. One can be proud of himself, proud of his accomplishments, proud of his possessions, proud of his people, proud of his race, proud of his nation in such a way as to take the glory away from God. And I think that's, you know, today I think we get caught up with the worldly pride. You know, I think they forget where everything comes from. One thing that I have noticed, you know, not that I'm a big, you know, Tim Tebow fan, but you know, he's not afraid to talk about to God and give God all the praises. And I've noticed that, I guess since he came into the picture, that, you know, with my son being in college and playing college football and everything, I noticed that, you know, every year when they do the, what they call the blue chips, whether the top 100 athletes in the, top athletes in the nation, and when they're signing to go, you know, play for a different college, that I noticed that more and more of them now, one of the first things they do is they can acknowledge God and thank God for all their ability to do that. And I think, you know, that takes a lot for a 17, 18-year-old kid to do in today's society. So I think in that sense, you know, it's a good way. And starting here, you know, the first point that it talks about is pride is used in two senses. Number one is the good sense, in the sense where pride is synonymous with self-respect and personal dignity, such as admirable and necessary. If somebody would read Matthew 22:39 and 1 Timothy 4:12. In our first reading, I think, you know, it's very, you know, how hard is it for us to love our neighbor? You know, some of us, maybe our neighbor is, maybe it's easy because our neighbor is maybe 20 miles away, you know, or maybe it's our neighbor is next door and has, chickens and guineas and barking dogs all the time and everything like that. But I think, you know, we need to take pride in the God sense of loving our neighbor as He would want us to. And I know that at times that's hard because I think in today's society, the world is telling us different, that we're just out to look out for ourselves. You know, and in Timothy, when they were talking in this scripture, when it says, no one look down on your youthfulness. And during this time, Timothy was probably 30 years or younger. And in that day, such an influential position was not usually held by somebody that was so young. And perhaps his leadership at that time had been called into question. But I know sometimes maybe we take pride when a younger employee comes in and they're your boss. In the technology world today, I think you can pretty much go to any school and on their football staff, we're going to have several of our coaches. That's one of their things is you got to have people that are extremely intelligent in technology today, because everything is done, you know, over the computer. We don't no longer have to travel to a town to scout a football game, you know, and that's kind of nice. But you know, every Saturday morning we get 3 or 4 football games from that school that we're fixing to play the next week. And so all that stuff's gotta be, and so every staff, you know, and I'm thankful, you know, because, you know, they said, how are you on the computer? And I said, well, it took me forever to find the any key button, you know, but I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, we have, you know, that, because that younger generation, you know, they don't know what it's like to not have a computer, a cell phone and all that stuff. So I'm not, you know, I said, sure, you can do all that you want, you know, just, you know, I learned the basics and here I go. So as far as, you know, do they know more about the game of football than I do? I don't know, but I know they know more a lot about the computer than I do. So I let them go do that. So in the sense that, you know, I think, you know, I don't worry about that too much. Says he who has no self-respect demands no respect from others. Yet God wants us to demand respect of others. Look at Acts 2:47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And I think, you know, favor is also talks about respect. And, God wants us to have favor with others and have respect. Not that we want to demand respect, but to have that respect. And like I said, teaching junior high, that was one of the hardest things for me this past year, because that age, they've lost that sense of respect for not only for each other, but especially for adults. And it's, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to explain to them why that was so important, because, you know, it's, you know, in a lot of cases, it was not being taught at home. So they don't, you know, I can't get too mad at them or upset with them because they just don't know any better. And so, you know, I had to use a lot of scenarios where, you know, they're applying for a job or whatever. How important, you know, just yes sir, no sir. yes sir, you know, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and I was raised that way, and how important those, you know, those simple words are. And I mean, it's just, you're showing respect. And I said, just saying that can be the difference between you getting a job and not getting a job. Because a lot of them, they're going to, yeah, no, you know, and one of the things I had to deal with is they've replaced, I'm sorry, a genuine, I'm sorry, with my bad. Okay. And, you know, I had a young lady that got in a fight and gave me one of the worst cussings I've ever had. And she came in the next day and smiled like nothing ever happened. And I looked at her and she said, what? And I said, well, I was just seeing if you're going to cuss me again. And she said, Coach, it's my bad. And we had talked about this in classroom. I said, what if I would gone to your mom and, you know, gave her that same cousin and said, my bad. She said, well, that wouldn't be very genuine. And I said, exactly. So I think it, you know, hopefully she learned from that, but you know, we just, today's generation, it's, you know, as far as respect, you know, they need a lot of help in that direction. Okay. The other senses was bad sense. In the sense, pride is synonymous with self-esteem, self-importance, arrogance, and all such similar vices. This is the pride that Webster defines as the quality or state of being proud, as in ordinate self-esteem conceit. Let us make sure that the pride that we possess is the kind that keeps the chin up, the head up, and not the nose. And, as far as arrogance, you know, Webster defines it as to exaggerate one's own worth or importance, often by an overbearing manner or an attitude of superiority. Okay? You know, forgive me if I keep going back to sports, but being in that for 32 years, I think in today's, you know, I'm not really big on professional sports anymore, because I think I look at it this way, is they're taking more pride in what's the name on the back of their jersey rather than the name in the front. And I think as teams, those that look at taking pride on what's in front of their jersey, in other words, they're representing that organization, that team, they seem to be more successful than those that are in it just for themselves. And so I think, you know, there are a lot of good ones out there. But then there's those that, you know, a lot of kids want to try to look up to. And I think that, you know, not that they want to be in that spotlight, but they're there. And they have to live with that and understand what kind of example that they are setting for the younger generations. And so, they get caught up in that arrogant stuff. Okay, the second point is pride is a sin. The Bible specifically says that pride is sinful. A high look and a proud heart is sin in Proverbs 21:4. Pride is a sin that God hates. We can see that in Proverbs 16 through 19. It is sin that generates from an evil heart, yea, that defiles a man. It was one of the sins that characterized the degenerate of Gentile society before the coming of Christ. It also says pride is said to be one of the sins that would characterize the perilous times of the last days in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And we get, I think in that point, it's talking about worldly possessions. We get caught up in that, you know, today, that's what a lot of people are caught up in, is worldly possession. Two, the pride of life is one of the channels through which Satan tempts man to sin. Let's look at 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2. That's my place. 15 through 17. It says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Satan used the avenue of approach in the temptation of Christ. Let's look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. In this passage, we know that Satan is trying to tempt Jesus and is offering the whole world, you know. And, of course, we know that, Jesus did not fall into his temptation. And there's things that are, you know, very, you know, appealing to people today because of where their mindset is or where their heart is. And, you know, I don't know if you know that, you know, a lot of these, again, going into professional sports, you know that 50% or more of the athletes are bankrupt. You know, I remember one guy saying, you know, I have a hard time living on $10 million a year. You know, I was just like, let me try. You know, because, you know, why is that? You know, why is that, you know, why do they have that problem? Don't know how to manage your money? Okay, what do we call that? Keeping up the Joneses? Okay, and they get caught in that thing, you know, okay, they have a fancy car, I need to go have a fancy car. You know, they have that big house and all that stuff, and some of them have two or three houses. And, you know, of course, some of them, you know, they came from, you know, poverty. So they don't know how, you know, and I think, if you know who Tony Dungy is, you know, he incorporated a program with the NFL to, they have I think it's like a 3-day training for all the rookies that come in and talk to them about, you know, importance of, you know, their character, you know, and how to live their life, how to manage their money and all that stuff too, where that does not take place in that situation. But again, that's where the pride kicks in. You know, I've got to keep up with them. And, you know, I would, you know, if you can't live on 10 million, you know, I'd try 10% of that or 5% or whatever. Just give me that opportunity. The second is, examples of pride, are in the Old Testament. You know, we had Uzziah in 2 Chronicles. We had Nebuchadnezzar, of course, and Daniel are outstanding examples of pride of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, of course, we have the Pharisees. You know, look at in Luke 18, 9 through 14, if you would, please. And he also told a parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes, and all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes of heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, the man that went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Have we ever found ourselves in that position? We're saying, man, I'm glad I'm not like that. You know, I know I have. And, you know, karma. One time, I found myself, thank you, God. I was moving some hurdles this last spring, and I really stubbed my toe big time. I mean, really big time. And I just screamed and yelled, and I said, thank you, Jesus, for all the blessings. And they looked at me, and they just started laughing. I said, what'd you say? I said, thank you, Jesus, for all the blessings. And, I did not grow up in the church. And I remember growing up as a kid, my dad was, he was a carpenter. And before nail guns and all that stuff came out. And I remember him hitting his thumb with a hammer. And I mean, he let out tons of cuss words. And of course, being a smart aleck little kid, I just said, hey, Dad, that make that thumb feel better? And then I got, and everything. But I think, that, man, we are truly blessed. And I think where I was, 30, 40 years ago, I tell you right now, this is the last place I thought I would be. I said, when you get older, you're going to be teaching Bible class and everything. And I was just like, you're crazy. Okay. But it's because of God. I mean, He has truly, truly blessed me. And, I take pride in the way that He has blessed me. I don't say, I lost my mom about 3.5 years ago, and I'm the only Christian in my family out of 5 boys. And as we were coming back from the funeral home after the arrangements, one of my brothers was talking to me, and he said, man, you got great kids. You got great kids. He said, how'd you do it and everything? I said, it's not a secret. It's not a secret. He said, what'd you do? I said, I just made sure that every time the doors were open at church, they were there. I said, if God did this, not me. I said, all I got is direction from God. I said, and that's all I'm telling you is you got to raise your kids in the church. And you've seen the saying that, if you don't teach your kids about Christ, the world will teach them different. And, seeing that every day in school, I see that. And so I think that's okay to take pride in living your life for Christ. I want you to feel free to make any comments, because I may just go off this lesson here and everything. We talked about, it says the disciples thought that Jesus was going to build an empty earthly kingdom. If you remember, did they not get very prideful? Because there was one, who's going to be the greatest of them all. And, I think the biggest way that Jesus humbled them was, here was the Lord and the Savior and the Master of all. And for Him to go get that basin and start washing their feet, I mean, they were like, you're not going to wash my feet. And my wife would tell you, I have a hard time because I hate feet. kids always make fun of me, but they said, Coach, you tape an ankle faster than anybody else. How can you do that? I said, because I'm holding my breath. Okay, I'm holding my breath. And I hold my breath, and I just tape that ankle as quick as possible. So I think back then about what their feet were like. The dirt, the dust, and all that stuff. And for Jesus, to take that basin and wash your feet. And I think that's, that's a great lesson on pride. The next point is pride leads to many other things. In fact, pride is the root of all sin. It caused the first sin on earth in Genesis 3:5. It antedated that was the cause of Satan's fall through the primary application of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, the king of Babylon and the king of Tyre. It seems that such may very appropriately apply in some secondary way to the original fall of Satan. Did Satan fall because of pride? I keep losing my place. There's some points here on notice how other things that pride leads to. Number one, it says pride will prevent conversion. Okay, in Matthew 18, 1-4, it says one must be willing to assume the role of a beggar in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, and it's talking about, you know, we have to, talk about when we get a new convert. You know, we have to really nurture to that convert to make sure that they, you know, go in the right direction. And I remember when I was 19 when I got baptized, and I was just like, okay, you know, I just thought, okay, I've got baptized and all that stuff. And at first I didn't realize what was going on with all the people saying, how are you doing? How's it going? You know, and all that stuff. And as I got older and older, you know, I understood that they were nurturing and making sure I was staying on the right path. So I think, if we're not careful, that pride will prevent conversion. We can see, in Acts 24:25 is where pompous pride of Felix kept him from obeying the gospel. Also, pride will cause one to refuse to confess his sins. Some cannot humble themselves low enough to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I've sinned. Often we need to say this to God. And, you know, as pride ever kept somebody from receiving, you know, coming down front. That's hard. That's hard. And for them, I think, you know, we just, you know, nobody's perfect. I think we get caught up, you know, in that pride, you know, and my kids that, you know, that's one of the, I'm not afraid to, and I may get fired one of these days, but, I teach what they call high school readiness. And basically it's teen leadership is what I've incorporated. And the biggest of that, the lesson of that is learning how to build relationships. Because, you know, and it talks about that's one of the most important things in life you're ever going to have. Well, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm saying no. You know, God is the most important thing you're going to have. But I'm not afraid to talk about God in my classroom. I let them bring it up first. And then, you know, I keep a Bible on my desk. Coach, well, I don't understand all that stuff. I said, see this? I said, this book's got every answer, you know, to any question you want. It's right there. You know, and they said, well, why don't you open up and read it and all that stuff? And I said, I would love to, you know, but, you know, if they mention God, then I jump in and go with it. I'm not afraid that, you know, if I get fired for that, then so be it. But I know what it's done for me. And I see sometimes I see a lot of myself and a lot of my kids. And I just, you know, try to understand that, you know, where that pride, you know, we're afraid, you know, what are they going to say about me if I come up front? You know, and I think a lot of times we get caught up in that. And, you know, we all need God. And pride will also cause one to live beyond his means. And this is where we talk about, We are plagued today with keeping up with the Joneses. We are plagued with buying things we do not need, with money we do not have, to impress people we do not know. With one's outgo exceeds his income, and upkeep will become his downfall. Okay? And I think, you know, kids, you know, their Nike shoes, Air Jordan, you know, stuff. Oh, I just got to have, you know, I coached basketball one year. I purchased our shoes for a team, and this kid refused to wear my shoes. He said, they're the same color I'm wearing. And he goes, no, I'm buying mine. I said, no, you can wear the shoes. And the only difference was they were still Air Jordans. They just didn't have Air Jordan on the back. And a lot of kids think, well, just because I have Air Jordans, I mean, I'm going to go, you know, jump 10 feet from up, you know, dunk the ball or whatever and all that stuff. But we get caught up in logos, you know. All the kids today want to wear what? Nike? Under Armour? You know, I got to have those because all my friends have those and all that stuff. You know, you can go buy that same shirt without the little logo and it's $20 or $30 cheaper. And it's the same material and everything like that. But we get caught up in, Mom, all my friends have Pride. And, you know, they all have the Nike. Or they all have this. And they get caught up in that. And, so I think, you know, like I said, these NFL players and a lot of stuff, they're caught up in that. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Pride will definitely cause one to try to live beyond their means. Also, pride causes contention. Look at Proverbs 13:10. It says, through insolence comes nothing but strife. Okay, but wisdom is with those who receive, counsel. And so, I think this is where they can become, rude and disrespectful. Okay. In Psalms 10:4, it talks about pride leads to rebellion. Let's look at Psalms 10:4. It says, the wicked is the haughtiness of his continence, does not seek him, and all his thoughts are, there is no God. I have students. I don't believe in God. There's no God. And I let those kids get after it. You know, I don't step in. I let them talking about it. Kind of like, you know, there is a God. And I let them start talking and proving it. And, you know, I don't, if it gets too hot, you know, I kind of step in. But I let them, because they're going to, you know, like I said, they're going to go search it out. And we know, all of us have had teenagers. That seems to be the most rebellious years for some. I don't know. To listen to a lot of my students in the way that they talk or refer to their parents, you know, it's sad that they take pride in disrespecting their parents or adults. And like I said, you know, in our profession today, and Randy knows that we're not just only teachers. I mean, we're mom, we're dad, we're a counselor. Okay, we're a friend. We're everything in today's society. And we just can't just go in that room and teach and never have to worry about a discipline problem or whatever. There's so many other things that we have to face because it's not being, you know, taught at home. I was not one that was big on, like I said, goes back to technology. When I first got on Facebook, the main thing I got on Facebook is because I wanted to keep up with my kids. And what I mean by my kids is all these kids that I taught and coached. And, you know, as soon as I did that, you know, there was comments, hey, the old man finally figured technology out, you know, and stuff like this and everything, because I want to see where they go and try to give them, you know, I take pride in my kids, meaning them going and achieving other things, you know. And I taught a kid that, you know, we try to do all kinds of stuff that motivate, and I don't do this with all my kids, but he was in a position where, you know, he was going to go to ACU, And I said, I tell you what, go to AC and go to college. I said, when you get out, I'll give you $300 for your graduation gift. You know, and he said, really? And I said, yeah, you know, well, he went to ACU. And, you know, I'd keep up with him. And finally, his senior year is about May. I get this phone call. And he says, Coach Ventura, this is Calvin. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I said, Calvin, I said, you fixing to graduate? He said, yeah. I said, you remembered that bet, right? And he goes, yes, sir. And I said, it's coming your way. You know, and he said, hey, I'm also going to go get my master's. And I said, well, our deal was on the, you know, our deal was here, okay? But he's done great things, and I just, you know, I take pride in that investment of those kids. And, you know, I have a, I think as far as, you know, teachers and all that stuff, we're in the mission field every day. Even though we might not go to overseas or whatever like that, but I feel like we're in the mission field every day. And so, the next point is pride causes a ruler ruin, a boss or burn of attitude. Such an attitude was possessed by, Diotrephes, I think is how you pronounce that. Pride also leads to apostasy. Okay. There was a, you know, old Chinese proverb that says, he who stands on a pedestal has no place but to, you know, step off or fall off. Okay. Do you feel like there's a lot of pride today? And, you know, when I'm talking to my kids about building relationships and all that stuff, how much pride is there today in the CEOs, the big companies and all that stuff? You know, a lot of, I try to tell the kids that a lot of these people take so much pride, or they do anything to get to the top, and they don't care who they step on or whatever to get to the top. But if I told them, if you notice, they don't stay up there very long. But if we build those relationships and take care of each other as we go up, we tend to stay up there longer. And so I think pride, you know, can lead to that. I'm looking at the clock, and boy, am I way behind. Okay. There's various forms of pride in the areas where it operates. You know, there's spiritual pride. The scribes were guilty of pride in this form in Mark 12, 38 and 39, as was the Pharisee in Luke 18, 10 and 14. It says, spiritual pride causes one to trust his own virtues rather than the grace of God and the blood of Christ. And the second is intellectual pride. The kind of pride causes one to look down with disdain or unlearned, illiterate, oppressed, poor, and downtrodden. True knowledge begets humility, not conceit and contempt. A study and application of the following passages will cure intellectual pride. And it talks about Proverbs 3:5, Proverbs 26 and 12. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. Also, there's a pride of material things. It causes one to trust in his material possessions, talking of me, my, and mine, while forgetting that all material blessings flow from God. In 1 Chronicles 29:12 or James 1, 17. Pride that will cause one to strut in his expensive suit, flash his credit cards, drive flashy automobiles. We see that every day. You know, we see a lot of that. And that's, you know, one of the last lessons my kids do is I have them write their own obituary. And you talk about eye-opening and scary. And I said, you know, how many of you have seen a hearse with a luggage rack or a U-Haul? Of course, you have that one kid. Well, yeah, I have. And that's, you know, some poor old boy bought an old hearse, you know, was pulling all that stuff. But, you know, you can't take it with you. I just recently read about this couple that had been married for many years. And he was always caught up in his financial state, his money. And he threatened her that I will come back and haunt you, you know, if you don't bury me with all my money. So when he passed away, you know, all the neighbors, all these people worried about it. And so they got and sat down to her and said, surely you did not bury him with all his money. And she said, yes, I did. And she said, you did? And she said, yeah, I wrote him a check. Okay? I wrote him a check. You can't take it with you. Okay? You can't take it with you. And I said, like, good luck on cashing that in. Okay? But I mean, we get caught up in, you know, we can't take it with you. And we got to understand that, you know, where everything comes from. Social pride, the pride would manifest itself in class, racial, and case, arrogance. Okay. You know, one of the most humble lessons I got as a kid is one of my best friends was 2 years younger than I was. And he grew up on a ranch. And we made it to state AAU track meet. So his dad's taking us and we stop at this town. Well, his dad's truck is just as beat up as you can get. Saddles, all that stuff on the back, chewing tobacco running down the sides of the, you know, it was nasty. And he goes, you know what? I think it's time for a new pickup, you know, and I'm sitting in the middle thinking, yeah, right. You know, and so we start driving around this parking lot. And boy, I just started ducking down more and more in that vehicle. And he said, how about that truck right there? And he goes, yeah, I like that one. So he made us get out. And we start throwing our stuff in this new truck. He doesn't even test drive it or nothing. And this guy comes out. Hello, Mr. McKinley. He says, is that the one you want? Yeah, and he comes out and tosses me the key. And he said, I'll send you the bill. And the boy goes, we're kind of rich. And I was like, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, we got 3 18-wheelers, you know, all this stuff. They had 3 big ranches. But you would have never known that by the way he carried himself. And so for me, I was extremely humbled. It's, you know, don't judge that book, you know, by its cover. And so I think, you know, we got to be careful in that sense. How about pride of race? You know, the Jews considered the Gentiles as dogs, as the Greeks thought of everyone else as being barbarians. You know, that's in Romans 1:14-16. You know, we know about, you know, Hitler, you know, and his race. But on the other hand, we know that one man, Jesse Owens, you know, pretty much smashed that theory. Okay. Let's look at, I'm looking at the clock, I'm sorry. What? The bell did ring. Okay. I guess I'll sum it up. Okay. Boss over here. Okay. Like I said, there's tons of stuff in here. And I hope that I did not, bore you this morning. But there is a cure for pride, and it's basically, you know, we gotta have the attitude of God, you know. We gotta have the attitude of God. And instead of being proud, let us work exceedingly hard to cultivate the grace of humility. And just, you know, be like God. And I think we'll be alright there. Thank you for your time.